Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And folks, it's now or never. And even though that is a very definitive way to start off this show, I think what we really need to start focusing on is our footing. And I say this because when we really, you know, it's one thing to take action, and we absolutely need to take action. So I'm not going to necessarily change, you know, it's now or never, because I think that epitomizes our position, where we are. We don't have a lot of time. And anybody that thinks that, you know, we've got, you know, the whole 70s, 80s, and 90s to figure out where we're going and what we're doing, you're sadly mistaken. And as a matter of fact, you know, some of the things I look at, and I look at how, you know, we're becoming just so divided. There have been a lot of people that have been making contacts to, you know, just this, and I hate to bring it up, but the Will Smith and Chris Rock, you know, falling out, or, you know, just whoops, or whatever you want to call it. It's not necessarily newsworthy, other than the fact that if you read Matthew 24, and I forget which verse it is, but it basically states that everyone is offended. I mean, we're getting to a point where we all are offending. You have a right to be offended, but to take it to a point where you take away the rights of others to say or do what they want to do. And so, I mean, I don't want to point the finger, and I don't want to even get into the subject or topic regarding the Oscars. As a matter of fact, I didn't even know the Oscars were happening until all of this little hoopla started, you know, bubbling up. But the fact of the matter is if you look and you read Matthew 24, that helps you place context to where we are right now. We're at that point. The signs are very evident, because we're taking ourselves so seriously, and we're not really reaching in and trying to, you know, gain a better understanding and a deeper, you know, a deeper understanding and a better footing on living the way we should be living as a civil society. We seem to have abandoned even our Christian tenets. Anyway, so I am your humble servant. I'm not your preacher. This is not your Sunday sermon. And so one of the things that I have learned over the course of the years that I've been watching and involved, from my Marine Corps career, engineering career, even my childhood, when it comes to talking heads, Peter Jennings, Walter Cronkite, all of these folks that are historically, you know, figureheads in being the people that provided talking points. As we unravel or peel each of the onions of these talking heads, it just really seems like no matter what they're saying, they didn't know, or they deliberately have been lying to us on Americans' involvement in foreign matters and what the heck we're doing. And it seems to me that what we have to really start thinking about, because I'll give you an example. How many people understood, you know, what was really going on in the Cold War? And when you really start looking at historically, you'll find that America has been directly involved in helping the growth and the footing of communism to basically take hold. If you look at Lenin, when Lenin was in jail, I believe he was in jail in Canada, and it took American prodding to get Canada to let him go and to actually get him into Russia to basically lead the Bolshevik Revolution. Why did we do that? And when Mao was revolting and basically trying to do a communist takeover in China, we were trying to actually get money to them, and American leadership stepped in, or I should say the globalists behind the scenes stepped in and withheld or basically convinced Congress to withhold cash to the regime that was fighting Mao. Why? Why have we been so instrumental in actually assisting the growth of communism? Now, if you understand the advantages of what can happen when you have an absolute enemy, when you see the spreading, because remember, we were told the domino theory. And I believe that the domino theory wasn't a theory, it was our plan, that we would allow these nations to slowly succumb and, in the interim, here in America, we were going to be exposed ourselves to paradigms and indoctrinations that would actually change how we perceive all of these things. And look at where we are today. I mean, look at where we were absolutely captured by, you know, this germ called COVID, and how the government used unconstitutional tyranny against us. What I'm asking is, I think we need to take the historical and the framer view of government, and we need to use the view that they used, which was based upon the two objects of government. We need to look at our government, and we need to look at what government is doing, and we need to look at what our public servants are telling us, because the two objects of government is this. The government's responsibility is to protect life. This is how and why governments are instilled. We create governments to protect life and to protect property. And how is it that we've gotten to a position where government now takes property? You can be taxed out of your home. Government is so callous towards the individual and people that they literally are trotting over us. They're just running rickshaw over us. We have to start looking. And so when you listen to politicians talking and what they're going to do and how they're going to do these things, start keeping context as to, are they really protecting my life and are they protecting my property? Because those are the two main objects. And if you keep that in mind, then you can actually start realizing how unconstrained government has become and what we really have to do to constrain it properly so it can serve us the way it is supposed to serve us. And when I say supposed to, I mean the way that it is going to protect our life and our property, period, right? So, as you know, this show is also sponsored by republicreview.org, and you are listening to the only show that gives you the academic evidence and evidence-based solutions. Still waiting on Bob. Maybe someday he'll have that seminar. We can't. And as a matter of fact, it gets really frustrating for me because the We the People Foundation is like the tip of the spear in helping people understand the First Amendment petition. And, you know, I'm not getting it. I mean, what we need to do is we need to unleash that knowledge and unleash that on you, because as long as it takes and as long as we have to be dependent on organizations, and I'm not pointing the finger, but I am pointing the finger at Bob and the We the People Foundation, you know, as long as they have to be the ones to initiate the petitions and those types of things, and I don't think that's their intent, and I don't think that's what Bob wants. I do believe Bob wants to actually give people this, but I do believe a lot of times we find ourselves caught up in this relevance, whether that be self-relevance or this organizational relevance or what have you. What happens if all of a sudden, you know, if I was an organization that was teaching you how to do something and, you know, kind of held that back from you, that makes you basically impotent because I'm not giving you what you need to do. And it doesn't take a rocket scientist to realize that, you know, that First Amendment petition is only an effective tool. It only becomes a weapon when we, the people, when all of us start using it. And you got to be clear, they cannot create any fashion or form or style to how you are to give that petition. The right of petition is not delineated into a very specific, I mean, they can't do that. They can't say that this is, you know, you have to have all of this type of information. It's got to be presented this way, and it's got to be done on this form. That absolutely sounds like a compulsion of the government. It sounds like you're in the military, and for you to, you know, get a requisition, you got to fill these things out in Tripoli. Are you kidding? No. That's why the First Amendment makes it very clear that they can make no law that abridges your right. And the fundamental petition is to you to basically stand in front of a public servant and tell them or give them in writing how they are violating. The reason why people like using the oration is because everybody hears exactly what's on that piece of paper. If you hand that paper over to... I mean, you could see this play out, right? If I handed a piece of paper to somebody, they would stand there and read it in front of everybody, and then they go, okay, thank you. And nobody would know what's on that paper. And so there's a lot greater power to actually videotape and to actually, you know, promulgate or to distribute the deliverance of that petition when you orate that. And as a matter of fact, we live in an age where we want to actually use all of the mediums possible to try to help everybody understand what the heck it is that they're doing that they shouldn't be and why they have to stop and or be removed. Anyway, when we get back, we'll finish the obligatories and we're going to get back into the structure, but I got a few more things just to get the week started here. So we'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
Okay, so just so you understand, GR has a real, real shortfall. I have a significant shortcoming, a flaw in my personality. I do not have a lot of patience. When things need to be done, when it's time to act, it's time to actually, that's one of the reasons why I've changed the opener to it's now or never. Because I just don't have any patience, folks. And so I do know everything in the Lord's time, right? I mean, everything will occur in the Lord's good time. However, that doesn't mean that, you know, we should actually, you know, be taking our time, and we need to actually be very, very, that's a good word for it,
forthright. We need to be very assertive. We need to, you know, prosecute with prejudice. We need to be on like white on rice. I mean, we have to be in the face of evil. Right? That's probably the best way to put it. But just so you understand, when I'm dealing with other people and they're doing things on their own time and so forth, I don't know what's going on. I have no idea what the real holdup is. I just lose patience. And so I hope, because I know Bob's a good guy. I know John Durant. I know a lot of good people that are out in the fight doing things. They're doing everything that they can. And I believe that their hearts are in the right place. But sometimes I just lose patience and I go, come on, we've got to start empowering. The faster we empower you, the faster we can give you what you need, the more effective we will be in getting back our liberties, our rights, and et cetera. It's that simple, right? So as you know, we are a huge endorser, and what we're asking, if you haven't done so yet, go to Wyoming Conservative Chronicle. They have a webpage. They don't have any news at all on their webpage. They are a hard print newspaper. And I was actually just talking to a few people in Wyoming, and they love what they're doing. They love the fact that they're very focused on the Wyoming. And if you want to actually see, you know, what's going on in what you would think a dark red state, you can actually see that the fight for liberty and truth is alive and well in Wyoming as well. So I'm just asking that you go and actually get a subscription, and I believe you'll be able to figure out ways to either look at and apply those same stories, what we're doing and what they're doing in Wyoming. You'll be able to take that and go, you know what? We need to do this here as well. And the way it is being done by the individual people. I know lots of people in Wyoming, and the only reason I know so many people is because they are so interested in fighting back. Now, they don't have, you know, lots of organizations and old, you know, I'll call it old school or old money, whatever you want to call it. It's not that they don't have established possible grassroots. They really don't, other than the party itself. And so they don't have a lot of these other types of organizations that have been around a long time, but they do have a lot of new ones, like the health freedom and the, you know, the parents' rights and those types of things, parents' freedoms. And I'm here to tell you that what they're doing is they're actually fighting the beast instead of, for the most part, there's far less. Well, there's plenty of Second Amendment folks, and there's a lot of Second Amendment different movements and so forth in Wyoming. So I can't say that there's not some of those old schools, but they don't have all of these other things. I know that the John Birchers are there, but they're not deeply entrenched, and that's a good thing because Wyoming is actually being objective and open-minded, and they actually are starting to make the choices for themselves, and there are plenty of people that are starting to realize, wow, you know, the convention states and the status quo of doing nothing isn't going to work. We need republic review, which is why the Republican Party actually created a committee on republic review in Wyoming. So anyway, get the Wyoming Conservative Chronicle. I'm expecting them to start talking about that republic review committee and how that, because we're going to hopefully help, they're going to help us, and we're going to work with them in expanding Republic Review into a much broader committee so that it is not just tied to just the party itself. We want to make that a bipartisan type of party where, or I should say a bipartisan type of effort where Republic Review brings in the constitutionalists, the libertarians, and those other independent parties. We know that the Democratic Party will never get on board, but because they don't want to see the Constitution complied to. They like the ability to ignore the Constitution and do what they want to do. And what they want to do is they want to compel every single one of us into, you know, into their paradigm and into their subjugation so that they will force us to do those things that we want to do, and we can't do those good things that we need to do. They want to take away our right to worship. They want to take away our freedom of and our liberty to be able to choose for ourselves to, you know, walk down the path of Christ or what have you. So anyway, get that subscription. I cannot emphasize this enough. It may be $30, but it's a one-time $30 expenditure, and it will be giving you 12 issues that you will be able to go through and go, you know what? How can we do this here? How can we get this done in our state? All right, so Gary Smith with Fortitude Financial Coaching can help you if you're looking for financial assistance in being actually successful with finances and getting on top of and no longer being subjugated to the banks and the credit companies and so forth. If you want financial independence, you may need a coach. And if you need a coach, I can't think of anybody better than Gary Smith with Fortitude Financial Coaching. The last thing I want to actually promote here is Stan Kluwit and his RadioDustCovers.com. You can reach him at Stan at RadioDustCovers.com. All his information is up on his website. Go to RadioDustCovers.com and you'll be able to purchase your own protect. We're getting another protection layer for something that we've, you know, hey, that thing is in the sun. If you've got something, electronics or something, you know, speakers or what have you that are sitting in the sun, because, you know, if you've seen what the sun does to furniture and what it does to things, you may want to cover it. And so we've actually gone down a different path of actually covering some speakers and so forth. And we're just giving you some suggestions on how you can actually start protecting some of the things that you have that you might be able to enjoy them longer, or at least maybe even your grandchildren being able to enjoy them. What do you think about that, huh? Anyway, so let's move forward. And as a matter of fact, one of the things, that, you know, because I'm asking many of you, any of you, all of you, to get involved, to actually take the lead in running for office. We're going to be going through the issues as soon as we wrap up, hopefully this week, on going through the, you know, what it takes to get to this constitutional county and what you have to do. And if I haven't emphasized this enough, I cannot emphasize this enough, that the First Amendment petition is the most effective weapon in helping you, one, grow the organization and helping everybody understand the importance of why we need to move that way, because it will drive your voting that way. Because once people demand that the public serve, once we understand that, okay, if we're not happy with government, there's a process to do it. We cannot let them just do what they want to do and change things without following the Constitution. So what we want to do is kind of help you with that, and we're going to be wrapping, hopefully, that up this week, and then getting into the issues for those of you who really want to run. We've already covered these before, but because this is an election year, we want to go through these again. Now, last Saturday, just 2 days ago, I was on KMET in Southern California, and I don't know if it was rebroadcast on a different radio on Sunday. I'm not sure where Doug Gibbs' shows are going and what have you. He may have done a live show on Sunday as well, but anyway, it was kind of interesting because there was an interview with a candidate for the U.S. Senate, and the gentleman is Mark Moiser, I believe that's how he pronounces his name. He seemed like he was a very constitutional guy, but he was really way too in the weeds on very specific things and didn't understand, I think, some of the things. Because one of the things he talked about was the separation of powers, and he really drove the importance of the separation of powers. Well, if he feels that way, then I think he's going to love having the conversation with yours truly talking about January 6th, and what really happened in the 2020 election, and how the separations of powers at the state levels were violated, where the governors and the courts and other executive members of the executive branch, such as the Secretary of State, how they overstepped their boundaries constitutionally and actually violated the Constitution by doing something that only the state legislators can do. let's see him actually have this epiphany. So we're hoping to have him on. And we are hoping to have Tom James, and we're hoping to get some Wyoming state representatives and senators on the show in the upcoming weeks so that you can start hearing how they're going to articulate exactly what the problem is. And this is great, folks. These are the kinds of conversations you need to be hearing in your state house as well. And as a matter of fact, if you've got these types of issues and we can create these connections with you and for you, please help us. We need to bring this conversation into your state houses so that everybody understands the importance in constitutional compliance. So with that, we're pushing forward. And when we come back, we're going to actually go over a couple more things, then get into the structure and why this is all important. Anyway, we'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me, AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416. Okay, so one of the things I actually should have probably led on, and I'll probably try to make sure I do this earlier in the program for the rest of the week. This Friday, so I got some really good feedback on last Friday's message to Representative Cawthorn. And so this Friday, because... you know, the feedback I got actually happened to be very specific because, well, why are you not having a message for, why isn't this a message for Marjorie Taylor Greene, who's really had her neck out since the very beginning of her election in 2020, or since the 2020 election? And so, because I don't know how long she's been serving. I think that's actually when she came into office. But nevertheless, one of the things that I got, you know, kind of thumped on was, well, how come you didn't go to her? So we're going to have a very special message. And so up on the website, the Take Action page, is the contact information for Marjorie Taylor Greene. So I'm asking everybody to make her aware of the fact that a constitutionalist, maybe a dim bulb of constitutionalism. I don't care if, you know, I don't like self-aggrandizing myself, but I do understand the Constitution better than most even constitutional professors, unfortunately, because they have all embraced the progressive paradigm that we have a living document that so many things are just accepted. Anyway, to be very specific, we're going to have one tailored for Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene and how she is taking all this flack, because it was brought up because they're actually trying to use the Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, calling her an insurgent, when they're trying to redefine what a patriot is in America. And so what we want to do is have a very specific message for her on Friday. So you want to tune in and you want to make sure you get her and or her people to actually hear this message. Definitely, it was a very powerful message. It's not like the content just flew over everybody's head. And so people said, or at least I got enough feedback from enough people to say, you need to do this for her too. I don't want to be a sexist, so I need to be inclusive, but we'll try to keep this and cap this, because anybody, this message really is going to go out to her, but this needs to go to those who are actually supporting the Constitution. And so she happens to be a lightning rod. But how come they haven't gone after Rand Paul for doing the same thing, or Ted Cruz? Because I'm telling you, those men and most of these Republicans that are, supposedly champions of the Constitution, they're really not champions of the Constitution. I think you're starting to realize that. Anyway, one other thing I also want to emphasize for you is, and we've said this, and I want to say this more and more, if you need content covered, then let us know. We'll actually, as you're getting organized and creating your counties, if you want to have meetings, because we will meet with you, we will actually sit down and walk, I'll just say hold your hand in going through a lot of these different things that you need to, how to do the research and how to become really effective. But you have to start. You need to initiate petitions right now. You need to start sitting down. And if you need help, if you want us to, help you formulate or how, because what we want to do is we want to make you able to start running. We know you need to get to walking first, but we want you to start running, and instead of doing this transition, just think how much faster you would have been able to, accelerate through life if you, instead of going through crawling and then walking and that, that the transition, you just got up and started running. Wow. You'd been there by now. You'd have already been there by now, because you'd be that much ahead in life. Anyway, so our goal is to get you running on First Amendment petitions now, not, in a couple of weeks, because you need to use these as your campaign strategy. This is one of the things I have to emphasize. Even though the First Amendment petition may fall flat at their feet, we expect this to happen. But we expect the American public to actually take, notice of this and say, are you kidding me? Especially as you educate them. If you fail in this coming election, it is only because you did not get the messaging out so that they understand what a First Amendment petition is and the civil society that we live in and how protests are actually treasonous. When you go out into a protest and you actually start stopping commerce and you stop the flow of commerce and people's abilities, that's actually treasonous. Now, I know civil disobedience has had a very important role, but you've got to understand that when all else fails, then you go to civil disobedience. But you need to start helping people understand that civil disobedience is an inappropriate way in a civil society, in our constitutional republic, of acting first. What we need to do is we need to petition, and we need to actually, talk about the issues. In America, I can honestly see and I can honestly understand the civil rights movement of civil disobedience. It's hard to understand that in other contexts, but in America, it is, I think it was essential that had to happen. That's one of the reasons why I say, if all else fails, that's the next step. And then if all else fails and we still can't take our government back, then the next step is either secession or what have you. But I don't believe we need the what have you. And I don't believe the secession and those types of drastic measures will actually save us. I believe that the good Lord will bless us like he has throughout the past 200 plus years if we're willing to do what is necessary. It's that simple. Now, when we left off with these, actually, I want to make sure I'm not missing anything. Oh, yeah. So you understand that the First Amendment petition is an integral part. I covered this before, but I kind of want to go back over this and why once you get these First Amendment petitions and once you get these meetings going, because this kind of goes to that very front view of you starting off and how you're starting to get, you know, this growth and movement within your county. If you look and you look back at the time when radio was, you know, just beginning to flourish, how radio was so relevant, everybody had to have a radio. Radio was the form of entertainment. As a matter of fact, Calvin Coolidge, I think, was the first president to actually have a regular address with radio, even though many people look at FDR and his fireside, you know, conversations or what have you with FDR. Radio during the Calvin Coolidge period was really bringing the nation, and it was very difficult to do this, bringing the nation closer to a one nation. But radio at the time was the expanding community. In other words, what you had in your little community was very limited to those few neighbors. If you lived on a block, or most people in America lived rural. Most people, there were those people, it's not that we didn't have cities and lots of people crowded, but, and probably that was the 50% of the population. I don't know how this spread the demographics, but if you look at the majority of America, let's speak in context of the Republic. When we look at this Republic, the majority of the Republic, the majority of these states were really, it still was rural America. And so you had your small little, you know, tight-knit community, which really gathered around either the grocery store, possibly the gas station, but more importantly, probably the two places where people really got to know what was going on was either at the church or at the bar, the two places of social intermingling. And so radio kind of provided this new farther reach of your community for your county to let everybody know what was going to be happening at the county fair, or what was coming on when the county fair, those types of things. Radio became that bedrock of the community. Communities in those days were really autonomous, and the community reach of that radio included these what were small little facets or autonomous zones. It created a larger autonomous zone. And then radio started getting, you know, some competition, and people started listening and moving away from just the local relevant stuff to entertainment and having these entertaining breaks, because America wants its entertainment. We have been driven so hard by entertainment today that it seems like it's our only focus. I mean, people live for their vacations. As a matter of fact, every night they want to have a vacation by going home and either getting drunk or what have you. Drugs and alcohol abuse is only worse today than it was way back then. Why is that? And I think it's because of this self-indulgent society that we have. But the age of technology advanced these communities and started interconnecting them, so that now we just didn't have this national conversation on a weekly or monthly basis. We had started becoming a daily basis, to where we were actually expanding our little radio reach to a national stage. And what that did, folks, is that actually took your eyes off of your local community and brought your eyes up to the national level to find out what the heck was going on. And so in the 60s, I mean, this is why everybody was fighting in the federal government. This is why all the marches and everything was being taken to Washington, D.C. Why? Because people wanted, and they felt, and they've been indoctrinated that the federal government could fix these problems. We'll be right back after this. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL. Or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416. Okay, so what we want to do is we want to place some more context to this, and indulge me as I kind of move forward, as I kind of show you how we were, let's call it, you know, by technology, we were able to self-indulge ourselves into growing into becoming a master of foreign affairs and geopolitics and all of these things, because we're capable of comprehending these things at the expense of our community. And what I mean by that is that as we started moving and looking outward, well, you have to turn and start looking outward. But now, where are you not looking? You're not looking inward at your community. And so over time, and as we actually see what's happening in our community today, many people have realized over the past two decades, because homeschooling has shot up a lot, dramatically, a lot, due to what started happening in your community. But whose fault is that? Well, it's because we all were enticed and started actually looking up to and allowing the government, because in ways they were telling us that they could do these things. And we said, yeah, that sounds great. Are you kidding me, folks? But that's what's happened. They got away with convincing people that they could assume these authorities, these responsibilities and powers. The only way we're going to fix this problem is taking that ball away from them and, you know, making them go home and go do the things that they're supposed to do. But the whole point I'm trying to make is technology gave us more. We had to have more. And so when with the wireless and cellular technology of the 90s, the late 80s and 90s, because when was the first cellular phone? Late 80s, possibly? I don't know. I don't know the history of cell phones, but I do know it goes all the way that far back because I had a cell phone in the early 90s. And I used it when I was in deployment and so forth in the Marine Corps because it was nice to have. And it was very expensive back in those days. And actually, to start putting context to that as well, you know, we look at, you know, in the old days as a toll-free number was a huge and important factor in a bit. You had to have a toll-free number in the 90s and the early 2000s. so that people could call you at no expense, or at your expense, actually. But why? Why do we have toll-free numbers today? Why are 1-800 and 888 numbers in existence anymore? Who pays tolls anymore? The competitive market has expanded and expanded in wireless and phone and these levels of technology to a point where there's no, you know, switch operators anymore that, you know, we have to employ to actually make all these different connections. It's all being done automatically, so we've been able to actualize those savings. But the fact of the matter is, why is it that there are these 1-800 numbers? You know, they could actually get rid of and save, because aren't we being told we're running out of phone numbers, which is why there's this huge expanse? Actually not. We now have the ability to go back in time and get rid of all the 1-800s and 888 numbers, and actually, because every business has at least one phone number, and they have the ability now to actually mask so that when you dial in, you just dial into that one number. Anywho, and that's the beautiful thing about voice over IP. So they've allowed these problems, and they create these problems to convince us that they have to do and implement these types of things, which fits their scenario. But bottom line, as wireless and cellular technology blossomed, our community was replaced by our complete ability, or I should say our ability to completely immerse ourselves in self-indulgence. Because at that point in time, folks, when you started walking around with a smartphone, the world is at your fingertips. And guess exactly what? I mean, how many of you have complained about kids walking around with their face buried in a cell phone and everybody's texting and all of these things? Because it is numbing us and completely absorbing us into this technological world while we're ignoring our community and what's going on. And I can't emphasize enough how we can actually benefit by restoring radio and radio relevance in your community. So as we start talking about these petitions, as we start talking about, you know, the rights of First Amendments and focusing on the fundamentals, right? I mean, many educational processes use fundamentals to actually develop, whether that be religious, whether that be even in basic education, you start with fundamentals and you always try to keep these core fundamentals and core principles as a part of, you know, what you're doing. So, which is why on this show, I really go through the same stuff almost all the time. Getting people to understand the fundamentals, and as they understand the fundamentals, then they can start getting a good solid footing to start taking off and running in the directions they need to run in their communities and start focusing on who and what the effective targets are for their energy. So we're here to help, and we're not from the government, as you know. Anyway, now we can get into the structure, because I wanted to go back to this so that you could understand how, as you start creating these petitions, as you start going down this path, it could be 2-3 months as we start presenting to the radio stations in your local area. Maybe they're not airing my show yet. At this point in time, you've got these petitions and you're starting to grow and you're starting to teach people. As you do these things, you can have events. They can be virtual events where we'll be happy to come on and start talking about constitutional counties. All of this stuff that I've been going through, and we'll try to have very succinct, short messages on why these things are important. So that because we need to restore, we need to fully restore the First Amendment right of petition. And what I mean by that is we need to restore the paradigm that if we petition government and they do not reasonably respond within a reasonable amount of time, then we stop having to pay taxes. The individuals who demand that government be accountable to the Constitution, then they can act, because I believe that that's how you get more and more people, because I call them WIFMs, right? Everybody's a WIFM. Everybody, what's in it for me? I can't say that I don't know anybody, even myself sometimes, when somebody comes along and tries to say, hey, you know, I need you to do this. I go, okay, so but what's in it for me? And I try not to be that way. But in some respects, when it really comes down to fundamental business or fundamental, you know, purchasing or what have you, like you're going and buying something from somebody, then 9 times out of 10, there's got to be something in it for you to buy that or to go down that path, right? In these types of things, when it comes to civics, it shouldn't be what's in it for me. It is what is in it for our posterity. We have to be thinking and keeping clear of what is best for our future. This is why the Constitution's preamble starts off the way it does, because they were doing it for their posterity, which is us. And we have to think in the same context. So as we start looking and we start, you start creating these events and you start having these types of shows, and as you start growing, you can then go back to the radio station and go, you know, we've got 500 people now on board with this one petition, and we're growing. And this is going to continue to grow. And we've got all of these other petitions, and look at all the different people that we got. And people are starting to get this and understand that we have an unlimited ability to hold our public servants accountable to everything. And there's no reason why you don't petition them on everything. This way, in the upcoming election, they will be embarrassed to stand in front of the people and have to defend themselves on how they have failed you on everything you've petitioned them for. Does that make sense? These are things we have to understand, that we would love to actually not pay taxes, but more importantly, it's about changing out those pernicious people that do not deserve to be elected public servants. And we have to hold them to the standard of the Constitution. You take an oath, you have to support it. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You must support the Constitution. So last thing we kind of talked about right before we ended the show, and literally I've got 1 minute left, so we're going to end it again, but I want to start talking about these actual committees. And so we wanted to talk about the infrastructure committee. So when we come back tomorrow, we're going to dive into what the infrastructure committee is as you start creating these committees. And there's going to be lots of people that are going to want to come on board with this. But we have to understand that everything that these committees are talking about has to be working within a rational framework of the state constitution and the U.S. Constitution. So some of the things that you need to, you know, put your arms around, we got to go back up to the, you know, the county central committee organization structure or the sample structure. You have to have a library. You need to have, so you need to start creating that library. Do you already have the U.S. Constitution? Do you have the U.S. annotated constitution that the federal government is using? Do you have the state constitution? And if you do you have it broken down so that you can look at the true amendments that were amended by the proper process? Anyway, I'm getting tongue-tied. We'll be back tomorrow in diving into this central committee and this organizational structure for you to take and create your constitutional counties. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. Thank you so much.
Woo. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.